At the height of its success, Gregarious Games appeared to fall dormant. Several years elapsed, during which they released no new games. Morrow made cryptic announcements, saying the company was working on an ambitious project that would move them in an entirely new direction. Rumors began to circulate that Gregarious Games was developing some sort of new computer gaming hardware, and that this secret project was rapidly exhausting the company's considerable financial resources. There were also indications that both Halliday and Morrow had invested most of their own personal fortunes in the company's new endeavor. Word began to spread that Gregarious Games was in danger of going bankrupt. Then, in December 2012, Gregarious Games rebranded itself as Gregarious Simulation Systems. And under this new banner, they launched their flagship product, the only product GSS would ever release, the Oasis, the ontologically anthropocentric sensory immersive simulation. The Oasis would ultimately change the way people around the world lived, worked, and communicated. It would transform entertainment, social networking, and even global politics. Even though it was initially marketed as a new kind of massively multiplayer online game, the Oasis quickly evolved into a new way of life. In the days before the Oasis, massively multiplayer online games, MMOs, were among the first shared synthetic environments. They allowed thousands of players to simultaneously coexist inside a simulated world, which they connected to via the internet. The overall size of these environments was relatively small, usually just a single world or a dozen or so small planets. MMO players could only see these online environments through a small two-dimensional window, their desktop computer monitor, and they could only interact with it by using keyboards, mice, and other crude input devices. Gregarious Simulation Systems elevated the MMO concept to an entirely new level. The Oasis didn't limit its users to just one planet, or even a dozen. The Oasis contained hundreds, and eventually thousands, of high-resolution 3D worlds for people to explore. And each one was beautifully rendered in meticulous graphical detail, right down to bugs and blades of grass, wind, and weather patterns. Users could circumnavigate each of these planets and never see the same terrain twice. Even in its first primitive incarnation, the scope of the simulation was staggering. Halliday and Morrow referred to the Oasis as an open-source reality, a malleable online universe that anyone could access via the internet using their existing home computer or video game console. You could log in and instantly escape the drudgery of your day-to-day life. You could create an entirely new persona for yourself with complete control over how you looked and sounded to others. In the Oasis, the fat could become thin, the ugly could become beautiful, and the shy, extroverted. Or vice versa. You could change your name, age, sex, race, height, weight, voice, hair color, and bone structure. Or you could cease being human altogether. Become an elf, ogre, alien, or any other creature from literature, movies, or mythology. In the Oasis, you could become whomever and whatever you wanted to be without ever revealing your true identity, because your anonymity was guaranteed. Users could also alter the content of the virtual worlds inside the Oasis, or create entirely new ones. A person's online presence was no longer limited to a website or a social networking profile. In the Oasis, you could create your own private planet, build a virtual mansion on it, furnish and decorate it however you liked, and invite a few thousand friends over for a party. And those friends could be in a dozen different time zones spread all over the globe. The keys to the success of the Oasis were the two new pieces of interface hardware that GSS had created, both of which were required to access the simulation. the Oasis visor, and haptic gloves. The wireless one-size-fits-all Oasis visor was slightly larger than a pair of sunglasses. It used harmless, low-powered lasers to draw the stunningly real environment of the Oasis right onto its wearer's retinas, completely immersing their entire field of vision in the online world. The visor was light years ahead of the clunky virtual reality goggles available prior to that time, and it represented a paradigm shift in virtual reality technology, as did the lightweight Oasis haptic gloves, which allowed users to directly control the hands of their avatar and to interact with their simulated environment as if they were actually inside it. When you picked up objects, opened doors, or operated vehicles, the haptic gloves made you feel these non-existent objects and surfaces as if they were really right there in front of you. The gloves let you, as the television ads put it, reach in and touch the Oasis. Working together, the visor and the gloves made entering the Oasis an experience unlike anything else available. And once people got a taste of it, there was no going back.